Today we're going to go over the book of James. This is our last teaching. And the reason why we're doing the last teaching here is because we're starting our Advent series. As you know, the book of James is what we call the Proverbs of the New Testament. And there are 12 teachings, and James covers favoritism versus love, genuine faith, the tongue, what we say, how we are not to condemn and distorting the truth with our tongue. And we also covered about wisdom, false and true wisdom. And then he went on talking about divided heart. And then we also talked about wealth, arrogance of wealth and the danger of wealth. And last week I covered patience and endurance. And today we're going to cover the power of prayer. And the last teaching is actually the restoration of people to their in their relationship with God. We were planning to, as I said before, finish up this one next week, but because of the Advent series, which means in preparation for coming of Christmas, in which we do this every year as a church, I want to just briefly go over this teaching before we get into our main teaching on prayer. The last lesson that we want to go over with you is about restoring a relationship. We are, as believers, as unbelievers, often need to be restored in our relationship with God. For believers, it's us going astray from God through our sinfulness or our disillusionment with God, and God always wants to restore our relationship with Him. And for non-believers, it's really fulfilling God's plan for a restored relationship. When Adam and Eve sinned, God was already at work trying to restore their relationship with Him. And this is the reason why Jesus came to this world to die on the cross for us. So if you look at James chapter 5, verses 19 to 20, he says this, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover up a multitude of sins." So this verse, these verses talk about whether a person a Christian or not, we are to restore a person in their relationship with the Lord. And then he goes on that the ultimate objective of this teaching is that people's relationships and their hearts come back to the to God's original intent for relationship, which is healing and restoration. Now today, I would like to go over the 11th teaching, which is kind of our last sermon, and it's about the power of prayer. Turn with me to James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church, pray over them, anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be heard. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly, and it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is the word of the Lord. And let us start with the word of prayer as we start this, examine this passage together. Gracious Lord, we lift up this message to you. May the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. And Father, what is not of you, may we not remember, but what is of you, may we take it to heart and be transformed by your word. Your servant is listening. Speak, O Lord, and tell truth to us so we can transform for your purpose and your glory. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. As you know, last week, we talked about the trials and hardships that we go through. And it's very difficult in life to go through hardships and trials because we cannot control our situation. As I shared with you last week, there's an important aspect that God does through this period. He creates patience and endurance when we face hardships and trials. You can overcome these situations by being patient, like the farmer, standing firm, not wavering in our commitment to the Lord. And in the process, that we do not grumble. And James gives us hope. And the hope is the second coming of Christ. But also look at the prophets that James talks about, who are our role models in how we endure the hardships in our life. We cannot do this unless we have this patience and endurance. And the end result is blessings. And I shared with you last week, James used Job as an example of a person who endured suffering and trials, and Job's faith was made real. Job proved that Satan could not make him fall. Job was an example of God's blessing. The purpose of hardships and trials in his life was for refinement. And you can experience God's mercy and compassion during these times, especially when you're going through difficult times. But how we're going through it is very difficult. What is the power that sustains us to go through these hardships in our lives? And the answer is in this passage, it's prayer. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Why? Because every life situation needs prayer. It is the power and the engine behind how we overcome hardships and difficulties. So what helps us to go through this is prayer. The secret is prayer. Prayer gives us the power and the ability to go through life's journey. And James emphasizes the necessity for us to pray because that is the power behind everything that we do. Now, in this text, James shares with the believers the importance of prayer and what it does for them. And he really answers this question, why should we pray? Why do we pray? So let's examine this passage closely for today. Why do we pray? The first thing is prayer comforts. If you look at verse 13, it says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. When James talks about trouble, he's talking about suffering. It is the same word that is used in verse 10, where the prophets suffered. The prophets did not suffer not only because of physical illness, but it's mainly because of the beatings, the physical persecution, evil treatment, abuse and wickedness, standing alone as people who are faithful to the Lord. This is the reason why they suffered. And there are some in this word, if anyone's suffering, obviously also denotes physical suffering. But idea here, more so, it's about calamity of all kinds that comes into one's life because of our faith in Jesus. The same word is used in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, where Paul talks about suffering hardship as a soldier. And so what are you supposed to do when you're having this kind of hardships? What do? Pray. Turn to God for comfort. Turn to God for in personal communion. Pray in a manner that you cast all your burdens on the Lord. Plead with the Lord continually for relief. When James goes on and says, is anyone happy? The word happy in Greek is euthymeo. It is a compound word of you, which means well. The mayo, which is sort of a principle of life or feeling or thought or soul or spirit. It has to do with the well-being of the soul. That's what it has to do with. So when you say, so the next word, if anyone's suffering, then he goes, is anyone happy? What are we supposed to do? The word here is praise, sing a song of psalms. The word psalteo is used for public praise as well as private praise. So James is encouraging the people, if you're suffering, pray. If you're happy, praise. And this is the way we get comforted. However, it's not only comforting. Prayer also does this. It restores and heals our soul. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. What does the word sick mean? The term in the Greek, means illness, but also it means to be weak, feeble, or impotent, or to be weak. When James mentions sick, we can say it can be both physical as well as inner soul, being feeble or impotent. And Paul uses this word in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. He says this, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. When Paul says, I delight in weakness, he's referring to internal weakness of his humanness under the assault of persecution, trials, and trouble. And the word sick can mean both physical and internal sickness, psychological, the inner soul. Many medical professionals attest to the fact that your inner soul, if it is not well, you're not well physically. A lot of causes for heart disease is due to because our heart is not well. It could be due to stress. So when people are weak, they don't have the strength. So when you don't have the strength to pray, when you don't have the strength to turn to the Lord, call the elders of the church to have you to be prayed over. And the elders will be called the spiritual leaders of the church. These are the people who are strong. These are the people who can pray for you to encourage you. And they're the ones who are proven to be victorious. They're the ones who learn how to be patient, who are enduring. They are the ones who know the word of God. They have experienced the power of God work through them when they were weak. They have the strength in their spiritual life to help you go through the difficulties in your life. That's why in verse 16, he says, the effective prayer of a righteous man is effective. So when you're feeling weak and you cannot do it on your own, call the elders of the church and go to them for prayer. Hear the word call, proskuneo, it means to call them alongside. That means help them to come. It's not a phone call, but help them to come near you, to be with you, alongside. It's a ministry that the elders are called to do. If you look at Acts chapter 6, verse 4, and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. This is when the apostles decided to call deacons. The apostles realized their main call as an elder is prayer and the ministry of the word, preaching the word. So the role of the elder is to minister the word of God and look after the spiritual well-being of the congregation. So this means you and I, when we're weak, when we feel not strong enough to seek the Lord, when we feel depressed, when we feel ill in our inner soul as well as physical, call the elders of the church. Have them come near you, alongside you, and to pray for you, because they're the ones who have the ministry of encouragement, healing, and make us whole in Him. So when the elders come, it says here they're supposed to anoint you with oil. Now, in the times of James, oil was used for healing often. They use an ointment. And so when we talk about oil, now the word is eutropheo. When they say, let them anoint the sick with oil, the word anointing, it means to rub the oil in the sense literally to crush over, to literally rub oil. In the like, you will rub oil into a piece of furniture, or you rub oil into a piece of leather, or you rub oil into a person's body. It is used as an outward anointing of the body. In this case, people used olive oil. And so call the elders for the church to put oil over us before they start praying. It's a metaphorical way of encouraging us for healing, where we can refresh and renew our strength physically and internally. And we're giving the weak or the sick a way to encourage their broken spirit. So this is the ministry of comfort. This is the ministry of encouragement. This is the ministry of restoration. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So whenever difficult time comes and you cannot do it on your own to overcome it, there's help, the elders of the church. There's encouragement. The ones who are stronger, the elders of the church. There is a sense of a direction, the elders of the church who knows the word well. And I, as a pastor, would like to encourage you when you're having a difficult time, feel free to call. We're here to help. We're here to serve. Feel free to call your small group leaders. Feel free to call your elders. We're here to encourage us from our sickness whenever we're emotionally not well, but also physically not well. We're here to pray for you. That's the second component of why we pray. It brings us comfort. But also the third component of why we pray is answer promises. Look at verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So here, when we pray in faith, the Lord will make us well. You know, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. We come in faith, trusting that when we take the steps of being prayed after, when we're sick physically or when we're emotionally not well, we take the faith to believe that God will heal and God will restore us from our weakness and our wounds, that God will deliver us from the evil ones. God will make us well of our woundedness, and he will turn our discouragement into encouragement, and God will make the sick person well. So the verb, when will make, that phrase in this verse, or restore, comes from the Greek word "sozo," which means save. It is the word to save, rescue, deliver. It means to restore. It can mean to preserve it. It can mean to make sound or whole, again, a person to be whole. So the word sick comes from the Greek word esenthia, which means to be weary, to be tired, to be exhausted, and to be fatigued. So when we're sick, we're fatigued, we're tired, we're exhausted, we go for prayer, and the Lord will restore us. The Lord will make you whole. The Lord will rescue you. Do you believe that? The Lord will do that. And so the promise of prayer in faith is this, that the Lord will answer, but also the Lord will rescue us from our weariness. Now, one commentator wrote it this way, the oil doesn't do it. That refers to ministering comfort to the for that person, sort of rubbing them down with encouragement. And when the elders pray, those who are the strong praying for the weak, it says, the Lord will raise him up. Literally, egerio in the Greek, restore him. Not heal, but arouse, awaken, rebuild, restore. Prayer and restoration, prayer and restoration. The Lord will hear and answer that prayer. The Lord hears and answers the prayers of the godly people. So if you're sick internally, and if you cannot pray for yourself, if you're physically sick, go to the elders, have them anoint you, because they're in the ministry of restoration and encouragement. The other thing that we need to understand about promises is that the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous people. The word raise in Greek, ergoreo, means restore, arouse, awaken, rebuild. The Lord will hear and answer the prayer. The Lord hears godly people. And if in weakness or sickness have made you sin, this is a period where you confess your sins. You know, when we are weak, when we are not well, we tend to sin. And when we're physically not well, we also tend to sin. It creates what we call depression. It creates often grumbling, griping, complaining. This is time to say to the Lord, I confess of these things because of my weakness. And when we do this and share it with the elders, there's a promise. You'll be forgiven because the Lord is merciful. The Lord is good. And you'll be forgiven of those sins. And by coming to prayer, he'll forgive us. Look at verse, then we go on verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, here, it says here, while you're coming before in prayer, getting prayer, confess your sins. Why? Sins that are not confessed bring hurt. So ask God to reveal, ask God to admit. Help us to take the courage to say we're sinful. Confess your sins one another. And this involves a lot of humility. I realize when we fail to realize our own faults, you cannot change. You know, I was looking at a YouTube video, a Gordon Ramsay video of this Arizona couple, where in their mind, they're always right. Their food was the greatest one. But you know, what happened was when customer disagreed, they would use expletives and said, get out of here. You know, they're not going to change. And if your heart isn't willing to change, there's no way for healing. And so we need to humble ourselves and come with honesty and confess our sins. Because when you're weak and weary, under the pile and depressive sin, deal with it because it will harm us. So confess it so you'll be healed, be open. The word, the Greek word, Inami means to spiritual restoration that comes by confessing sin and praying. This word is used as a figure of deliverance from many things. So often this word can be used to deliver us from evil spirits that causes often internal sickness and or physical sickness. And God is here to heal us. And the point here is this: deal with the sin in your life. Deal with the weakness in your life. Deal with things that stops you, debilitates you, and depresses you. Deal with what keeps you down. Deal with things and go to the spiritually strong. Confess your sins. Why? Because you want to be healed. And it takes courage. I know it takes courage to confess our sins. But as we do this, God's promise is that you will be healed. And so these are the promises. But also, James is pointing out, not only does God give us promises, not only does prayer give us comfort, but also prayer works. When you pray, it works. The effective prayer of a righteous person works. Now, the Greek word for this is which we get the word energy. Energetic prayer, the empowered prayer, in all nine cases of this form, the word, the prayer is mighty and is able to do. The prayer is mighty and it is able to do things for us. So mighty power comes from righteous people. Energetic, passionate prayer offered helps us to be healed. So then James goes on in verse 17 and 18, giving us an example of this. It's Elijah. Verse 17, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Imagine that. You will pray, no rain, 3.5 years. That's huge drought. And James gives an example of Elijah because he is a relatable person among the Jewish community. He was a person who was very relatable. And when he talks about Elijah, this is in reference to Elijah dealing with Ahab and Jezebel, who were the rulers of Judah. Now, Jezebel, who was the wife of Ahab, was a Phoenician princess who never gave up her Phoenician ways as well as her faith. She had a strong influence on Ahab and the people of Israel. She's the one who advocated the Baal worship, the idol worship. And Elijah met Ahab and said, there's going to be divine judgment upon you. Abolish the idol worship because God is not happy. And Ahab scoffed at Elijah. And Elijah, in his response, said, well, there'll be no rain for 3.5 years. And that's why James is referring to this. And Elijah is mentioned 30 times in the New Testament. He is a role model to the Jewish Christian who prays. So people identified with him because he was very human. He had the same feelings like them. He suffered like them. He understood hunger like they did. He knew fear like they did. He knew tremendous weariness in battle. He was someone like them. James uses Elijah as a role model of prayer because he can easily be relatable to the people. So Elijah prayed, and he prayed passionately. He prayed that there will be no rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. He's known to be a normal guy who honored God. And it's interesting, when Elijah prayed, it's not about praying for healing. It was praying for the rain to stop. Why did James mention this? He probably mentioned this to tell the audience that in this text, when you're sick, it's not just for physical sickness that you come for prayer. It's for both emotional, internal, inner soul healing also. So you don't just get anointing oil just for physical healing, but also for your inner soul, because there's a lot of diseases in our soul because of sin. Demonic powers who often resides in our lives because of our sins or habits that we have done. And so James is saying, get well. The parched dryness in our lives, the weariness that these sins cause, the exhaustion, the struggling that we are facing. He's saying, get well. And so this is the reason why James is using the analogy of Elijah. Well, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor to the sickness of the people of Israel. And so God didn't bring water. There was a drought. You feeling that way? Then come to the Lord in prayer have the elders pray for you, anoint you with the oil, and seek healing, and God will heal you. That's a promise. And James goes on, after 3.5 years of no rain, verse 18, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produces crops. Notice here, prayer brought renewal. It brought nourishment. It brought wholeness, health, blessing, productivity of the parched soul. And real praying by righteous people is powerful. And we as a church, and this is what James is saying to all of us, all the things that you go through, you need to pray. As 1 Thessalonians talks about, pray without ceasing. So I just want to encourage you. I was really excited to see some of you in our prayer times. You know, we pray practically every day. Starts out with Sunday night in prayer at 8 o'clock. And then Monday night, we have prayer meeting. Tuesday morning, we have prayer meeting. Tuesday night, we have prayer meeting. Wednesday, we have prayer meeting. Thursday, we have prayer meeting. Join us and pray. Why? Because we really need to. We as a church can come together. You know, I saw the ad says, a family that prays together, stays together. A church that prays together not only stays together, but is healed. We are here to grow one another. We're healed. And that's what the power of prayer does. You know, many, many years ago, as a chaplain, Presbyterian chaplain to UCLA, I was called to the hospital because the man had a special medical condition where he was about to die. And the whole family was gathered together at the hospital bed. And the man was alert. We told him, if you say yes, raise one finger up. If you say no, raise two fingers. And the family gathered, all his children, his wife gathered together to pray for him because it was time for him to go. And what was really moving was the children got to express their inner soul to their dad. There was also a time of confession where they healed in their relationship with one another. And there was time of tears. And at the end, what I saw was a joyful release in the whole family where they felt so comfortable to be with him. And you know, the only thing I wish that the family could have done was not at his only deathbed, but I wish they could have done this every day. And so we as Christians, whenever we feel sick, either physically or internally, let's get prayer, let's heal, let's confess our sins to one another, and God will bring forth wholeness. Do you want wholeness in your life? God is calling us to be whole. And even this Thanksgiving season, as we celebrate together as a family, and we know the pandemic is here and we're restricted amidst all these times, come together as a family, not only to eat and fellowship, but to pray with one another. Lift each other up in prayer because God heals us when we do this. And so I do pray for all of us, church. Let's practice what James says to us, to practice in prayer because God will make us whole.